Books of the Bible. Ephesians was written by Paul to the churches around Ephesus. It is about who Christians are and how they live. When we are in Christ, we are made alive, reconciled to God, and united with other believers in the church. If you are struggling in your walk with Christ, perhaps it is time to revisit what Christ has done for you and who you are in Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you know for sure where you will go when you die?
I don't.
Do I know for sure where I'm going to go when I die? No.
Bummer. This is Wretched Radio. Those were the voices of a Michael Knowles and a Matt Walsh of Daily Wire being asked by a really sharp young man, where are you going when you die? And the answer was very Roman Catholic. They don't know. We talked about this earlier this week on Wretched, and I've been kicking myself ever since because I seem to forget this on the regs. That's right, on the regs, because I'm current, I'm hip, and I'm groovy. That the issue of assurance was one of the major doctrinal issues of the Protestant Reformation. It was a massive deal. Specifically, Cardinal Robert Bellarmine, remember that name. The quote will ring in your ears, the name you might forget. At the Council of Trent, he was called, this was the Counter-Reformation. He said, the greatest of all Protestant heresies is, now the greatest, not grace, not that you don't have to go through the church, not Mariology. The greatest heresy of the Protestant church is the doctrine of assurance. Why? Because if you can be assured you're saved, you don't need the church. And guess what? You don't. Not for salvation. And that is why the Roman Catholic Church at the Council of Trent said in Session 6, Canon 16, if anyone saith that he will for certain, of an absolute and infallible certainty, have that great gift of perseverance unto the end, unless he has learned this by special revelation, let him be anathema. Don't forget that. The Roman Catholic Church, once again, thinks you, my Protestant friend, are anathema if you believe in the doctrine of assurance. The Roman Catholic Church must maintain that position. Otherwise, the sacerdotal system comes tumbling down. There's no need for it. You don't need to go to confession. You don't need to do acts of charity. You don't need to give your money. You don't need to get last rites. You don't need to get married in the church. You don't need to get baptized in the Roman Catholic Church. They must defend that doctrine. This was an article from Nine Marks titled, How the Roman Catholic Doctrine of Assurance Distorts the Conscience. And I share this because I think that there's enough helpful information in this treatise of the Roman Catholic Doctrine of Assurance that would help those who do struggle with assurance, who do struggle with knowing that they know. By the way, Jimmy, we're in,
Is it second? No, first Peter.
First Peter. Thank you. Thank you. It's like you're reading my mind. What does it say about women who live a quiet and gentle life with an unsaved husband? It's in verse 6 of First Peter 3 that you can know that you are an ancestor, a daughter of Sarah. In other words, you can know that you're a Christian. Please, if you are wobbly regarding your assurance, you want to be careful how you examine the fruit in your life, because most likely if you're wobbly kneed about the subject, it's because you do study yourself too much. Having said that, you can look at the deeds you do and glean assurance from it. Are you a faithful wife? Why? Because you're a child of God. Do you have a quiet and gentle spirit? What does that indicate? You're a child of God. Are you striving to be godly even though you trip, stumble, and fall? That would indicate you're a child of God. In other words, when you have a tendency to survey your works and to discover that you come up, you fall short. And you do. That's the reality, because you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. So we all fall short when it comes to perfection. But that doesn't mean you can't look at some of the other works that are actually happening and go, okay, all right, good. I used to do this. Now I don't do that anymore. Okay, All right, good, good. That's another mark of assurance. Is it definitive? No, not necessarily. But that doesn't mean it's disqualified from consideration and being encouraged by. Let me take you to this article from Nine Marks Ministries about the Roman Catholic doctrine of assurance. They wrote, there's a world of difference between having hope for salvation and assurance of salvation. Do you remember that from Knowles and Walsh? Well, I hope. I've got to have hope. So Knowles was actually on it. It was interesting, if you remember. It took Michael Knowles about 2.5 minutes to explain why he doesn't know for sure that he's going to heaven, but that he has hope, which is a part of something that you must have if you want to go to heaven. You have to do charity, you have to do works of love, and you have to have hope. So I got hope, he explained, because that's required to go to heaven. It was such a convoluted, confusing description mingled with a little bit of evangelical grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone language, but with layer after layer of stuff that you need to do, including having hope. So he has hope for salvation, but that is not the Christian description and definition of hope. Hope for the Christian isn't wishing, it's a verity. It's like, that's my hope. Not, oh, I hope it happens. No, my hope is that Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient for the forgiveness of my sins, and that because he rose again, I will rise again. That's my hope. That's my confidence. From the article, while Protestants rightly affirm the possibility of assurance, many sincere believers still struggle to experience it. And then it gives some of the reasons why. This is not an exhaustive list. This can stem from present sin. Do you have a battle with sin and you've concluded that therefore you're not a Christian? Now, there's obviously more that needs to be discovered, but on the face of it, you should be struggling with sin. That's the whole point of Christianity, that you have sins that are increasingly being revealed to you that you seek to mortify. That is the ongoing Christian life. It could be that you lack assurance because of guilt over past sin. I think we talked about this a bit ago when it came to the Puritans. They thought that that was a really big deal. You think that those sins were so big, so bad, so egregious that they can't be forgiven. What is that? It's a theological issue. It is a low view of God, that somehow your sins, as grotesque as they may have been, are somehow greater than God's ability to forgive. When you put it in those terms, wow, that's pretty blasphemous, isn't it? To basically, even though you don't say it, you're accusing God of not being able to wash you and make you white as snow. I know you say it, but that isn't true for my sins. That should cause you to go, I don't think I want to be thinking like that. So how do you not think like that? You gain a higher view of God in all of his attributes, his might, his ability to forgive, his willingness to forgive, what he has provided for us to be forgiven. Study those things, and what you will inevitably conclude more regularly until it is fixed in your noggin, my sins are forgiven. The past is gone in the eyes of God. Now, Nine Marks, they cite, that could also be an overly sensitive conscience. That it's just a little, it's tuned a little bit too high. What do you need to do to adjust that? Consistent teaching, good Bible teaching, fellowshipping with other Christians, and talking about these issues, disclosing these issues. So when you're sitting around a church, rather than talking about Saturday's game, talk about, hey, this is how I'm thinking about this issue. Do you think I've got it right? I don't think that I should ever have this thought or do this thing. Am I on the right track here? And let others help you with it. A lack of assurance doesn't mean we lack the promises of the gospel, only the full enjoyment of them. That's really helpful. If you have a testimony that says, yes, I've repented and put my trust in Jesus Christ, then you have the promise of assurance. But if you are not fully convinced of it, then you're only lacking the full enjoyment of them. And that's a helpful distinction. just because you're not fully enjoying the fruit of your salvation doesn't mean you don't have salvation. Just because you aren't always 100% confident, that doesn't mean that you do not possess salvific faith. It just means you're not enjoying it as much. Now, this article goes on to describe how the Roman Catholic Church distorts the conscience with its work righteous system. In other words, it's a bellows that just, it just fans the flame. And so for those dear ones that are sensitive in conscience, they've got a sinful past, don't we all? And they want to know the Lord. They want to enjoy his forgiveness. And yet anytime a system comes along and says, now, this is what you have to do. You have to go to, as Michael Knowles said, a man in a box and confess your sins. That's my impression of a bellows. Anytime that you are told, oh, you want to have assurance, you need to do acts of love. Now, we don't know how many acts that is. We don't know how wide and broad and deep those acts of love need to be, but you got to do those. Or you've got to have hope, and you got to cross your fingers on this, and you got to do acts of charity. Let's shut down that bellows so you can have assurance next on Wretched Radio.
Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. If your stomach tightened just a little bit, you're not alone. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. What if they get mad? What if I say something wrong? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Our resource, Terrified 2, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and he actually gave us the tools to obey it. And this resource will walk you through how to share the gospel with strangers, even family members, without needing Pepto-Bismol to get through it. You'll still be nervous, that's normal, but you'll also be equipped, and equipped beats terrified every single time. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or head to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what's rare? Finding something that makes you laugh and makes you think at the same time. And that's why we brought in Gary Varvel. Gary's an award-winning cartoonist, and every week he draws in an original creation just for Fortis Institute. They're sharp, they're funny, and they usually make a point that sticks with you a little bit longer than you expected it to. And something else you'll find at Fortis Institute is Fortis News, which is hosted by yours truly. These are up-to-the-minute headlines that matter to Christians, and they're told from a biblical worldview. There's no spin, there's no agenda. It's just the news with a Christian perspective. And both of these things, part of what we're building in Fortis Institute, and both are made possible by our gospel partners. If you have been helped and you appreciate the content that we're creating at Fortis Institute, would you consider supporting us so that we can reach more people in more places all over the world? It's really simple. We know you have questions, so we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Well, you can't judge me. Yeah, you've heard that 1,000 times. It's the verse people quote when they don't want to be corrected, even people who've never opened a Bible. But here's the question. Is that actually what Scripture teaches? Or have we been misreading one of the most misunderstood commands in the entire Bible? Thou Shalt Judge is a 13-lesson series with Todd Friel and Justin Peters that sets the record straight. They demonstrate why failing to discern truth from error doesn't make you loving, it makes you dangerous. Righteous judgment isn't hateful. It's one of the most loving things you can do because it protects people from the damage of false teaching. This series even includes a free study guide. It's perfect for your family, your youth group, or just working through yourself. If you've ever been told that calling something wrong makes you the problem, this is one you'll want to watch. It's streaming free on Fortis Plus right now. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Finally, a good earworm. This is Wretched Radio. You get them, I get them. Songs that get stuck in your noggin that just roll around, they won't go away. Yesterday, I had a good one, Jimmy. You want to know what it was?
The Curly Shuffle.
No, that was a few days ago. I get a fresh one every day. Every single day. Something, I just hear it. I'm in the grocery store and it's like, I heard Air Supply in the grocery store. And all day long, I was all out of love. That's how that works for me. But yesterday, the hymn, His Robes for Mine, was stuck in my head.
That's a good one.
Do you know it?
No. The title.
I'm sorry.
The title sounds good, though.
Now, maybe you're asking, wait a second, Friel. I thought we were going to be talking about the Roman Catholic doctrine of assurance that distorts the conscience. We are. But as I was dealing with the earworm in my head, which was a good one, because it's still rattling around up there, I thought, ooh, you're probably not familiar with this hymn either. And I queued it up so that you can hear it, because if you lack assurance, this is the type of stuff you need to be singing. Maybe you struggle to memorize Bible verses. I don't think that means you need to abandon ship and stop trying to memorize Bible verses, but it's so easy to memorize songs. This song on so many levels is so fine. I wonder who wrote this thing. I've got it pulled up to Hymns of Grace, which I find to be just a most helpful resource. If you want to go listen to nicely produced music, like the hymns that you're... What's the melody of that hymn? Or you just want to sit and have a bunch of good hymns play one after the other? Hymns of Grace. They've got, 185,000 subscribers. This particular hymn has 360,000 views. And I want to find out who wrote this thing, because it is a winner. Chris Anderson. Music by Greg Habiger. This is the crew from Grace Community Church. They're called Hymns of Grace. If you struggle with assurance, you need to imbibe music like this. And just on another level, listen to how smart it is. Listen to how theologically rich it is. And that is precisely what you need if you struggle with assurance. You need to hear these truths about propitiation, that you have been vindicated because of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are going to have a heart that is filled with assurance, you need to have a mind that is filled with truth.
His robes for mine, a wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered beneath God's rage. Draped in His righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place He died.
Philip.
His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting law, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works not mine. Saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life.
Wow.
I cling to Christ and marvel at the cause. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone.
Beautiful, rich, helpful, encouraging.
His robes for mine, God's justice is appeased. Jesus is crushed, and thus the Father's pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, then cried, 'Tis done. Sin's wages paid, propitiation won.
Wow.
I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost.
lost, Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. Bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all shall be for Christ alone. Anguish none can know. Christ God's beloved, condemned as all his foe. He has no eye, accursed and left alone. I as though he embraced and welcomed home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my own, shall be for Christ alone. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone.
That is what you need to bury in your brain to encourage you in moments of weakness. The Roman Catholic Church, they will distort your conscience. Way number one, they cause you to despair. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, Article 1861, says, mortal sin results in the loss of charity and the privation of sanctifying grace. Mortals, Michael Knowles mentioned that. If you commit a mortal sin, well, we can't really define what that is, but if you do, then what happens? You lose grace. Results in the loss of charity and the privation of sanctifying grace. That is of the state of grace. If it is not redeemed by repentance and God's forgiveness, in other words, you doing stuff, it causes exclusion from Christ's kingdom and the eternal death of hell. In other words, you fall from grace, you're out of there. That will cause anyone to be miserable. One wonders sometimes that so often the music in the Catholic Church, it seems oftentimes to be stuck in the Middle Ages, but I don't think I've ever been in a Roman Catholic Church because I wander into them whenever I'm in a new town. And oftentimes there's a service going on. The music is rarely joyful. Would you have joy? And so they've got lists of mortal sins, grave sins, and what you need to do to be unburdened from those sins. It is a sacerdotal treadmill. Martin Luther, he felt this. He was an Augustinian monk. He spent up to 6 hours a day confessing every sin. How burdensome is that? Does that sound like a joy-filled religion? Quote from Luther. My conscience could never achieve certainty, but was always in doubt and said, you have not done this correctly. You are not contrite enough. You omitted this in your confession. Therefore, the longer I tried to heal my uncertain, weak, and troubled conscience with human traditions, the more uncertain, weak, and troubled I continually made it. And that is why when he read, wait a second, we are justified. We have been propitiated through his vicarious death. You can know that you're saved, not because of the certainty of your or the firmness of your faith. No, your faith is weak and wobbly, just like mine and everybody else's, but because of the object of our faith is so certain and sure. And that's why you need to be singing his robes for mine. Number two way that the Roman Catholic Church makes you feel rotten. The denial of assurance teaches the conscience to equate good works with extra biblical ceremonies. In other words, you've got to do a bunch of stuff through the Roman Catholic Church. And they're only temporary. They will not provide a permanent solution to your wobbly need problem. It is only temporary. Number three, Rome's denial of assurance drives consciences to seek relief outside of Christ's righteousness. So you got to go do that thing. Oops, you stumbled again. Go do that thing again. Oops, you stumbled. Now you got to do this and that. And then temporarily, you're relieved until you do it again. And then you've got to go do some things again. John Bunyan, He wrote about this, grace abounding to the chief of sinners. He was finally set free. He had a troubled conscience. One day as I was passing in the field, and that too was some dashes of my conscience, fearing lest yet all was not right, suddenly the sentence fell upon my soul, your righteousness is in heaven. It is at the right hand of God. I also saw that it was not my good frame of heart that made my righteousness better, nor yet my bad frame that made my righteousness worse. For my righteousness was Jesus Christ himself, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you a wobbly-kneed Christian? What should you do? Oh, don't keep trying to clean yourself up. Because if you're in Christ, you have been made spotless, and you can rest in that. Why? Because he gave his robes to you. You gave him your sin robe, and now you are fully justified. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.